This is a HeadGum Original.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Stella loved to throw some shade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her. Time to drag her. Drag her.
Oh my good God. Virgin Mary and the Holy Hole. I am so excited to be here today. You're listening to Drag Her, the one and only RuPaul's Drag Race Recap podcast. I'm Manu Agapian. I'm joined by another Drag Race gay, just like me, someone who's dedicated their life to commenting on, I'm going to say, your favorite show in the damn world. I am gooped and gagged and honored to be joined by Joey Nolfi. Am I saying your last name right?
You are. So many people have, I mean, if you're Jada Essence Hall, it's Joey Nubsy, as she famously called me once.
That's hilarious.
Totally seriously. But no, you got it right. And I mean, just like Jada, I have done my shot of tajin. My energy is boosted.
Oh
my tongue
God.
Is coated. I am ready. Thank you so much for having me today.
I live. Wait, how do you feel about a tajin covered fruit?
Okay, so this might be surprising to some people, but I have never tried a tahini-covered fruit, to the point where I thought it was fascinating enough to write an article about this on EW.com/Drag Race, where you can find all of our Drag Race coverage, yes. And I was like, because it amused me so much, because like Monet was confused by it, Shay seemed confused by it. It is one of my top five like favorite Drag Race moments ever, truly.
Well, that
like
makes sense.
I laugh so hard when Jada just holds up the bottle and says tajin. Like it's just
it made me want to try it. I gotta say, it made me want to like be like, oh, I want to try this. That's kind of a fun way. I gotta say though, it's also very, you live in New York, and I think LA is like so tajin centric.
Yes.
Just by
I
the cuisine.
Wait. I'm gonna be there next week, and my friends are telling me, they're like, oh, if you think the tajin joke is funny, like we're gonna have to do shots of tajin when you're in LA. So, I mean, because I've been looking for it. I've been looking for it here. Maybe I'm just not looking hard enough, but I guess it's only been like 3 days. So
I bet there's the right bodega you can stumble into.
Maybe so. The search continues.
Joey, I'm so glad you're here.
Me too.
I mean, you know what I'll say? You know what? I'm sorry, but I like the way fruit tastes with fruit on it. I like fruit.
Me too.
Fruit flavored.
Fruit flavored, except I am a firm believer, this is a controversial opinion, then it turns a lot of people off and like cancel the podcast after 5 minutes if you want. But like, I am a firm believer that fruit should not touch dessert ever. Like fruit should be fruit.
I disagree, but work. You don't want it on a cheesecake. You don't want it on a pie.
That is the only except. Okay, pie is disgusting unless it is like chocolate chess pie.
Wow.
It has to be rich. It has to be some like, no, it cannot be fruit.
She wants a cream pie. That's what she wants.
Not starting off with a cream pie. No, we're 5 minutes in and already cream pieing.
Yeah.
Lovely. That's what I came here for.
That's the kind of conflama you signed up for when you decided to do Drag Her. Joey, I've been a fan of yours, and I mean, I have to say, we were talking just before we recorded, like, we're both Drag Race gays. Like, you cover it in such a fantastic way, and you work for Entertainment Weekly.
I do.
And how long have you had this Drag Race gig?
Well, let me just say, first of all, that it's very flattering of you to say that you have been a fan of mine. I just think of myself as just, I do my stupid little work at my stupid little job, and like, I just, you know, go about my day. And
you're being such a bitch to yourself.
Shout out to EW. I do not think EW is stupid. That was just a figure of speech. Thank you. That was very, very kind of you. But what was the question again?
Oh, how long have you been doing it?
So I've been... Well, it's actually, I've been a fan of Drag Race since, I think the first season I watched was back when they had them on US Netflix back in like 2013. Oh, and I watched, okay. I binged season 3. My friend came over, my friend Alice, shout out to Alice. We came over, she came over, we watched the Oscars one night. And then after that, she was like, have you heard of this show, Drag Race? Uh-huh. We watched season 3 until literally the sun came up after the Oscars. Yeah. So it was like the gayest evening ever. But, then I got
and it's
job
a long
at,
season.
Oh, it is a very long season. Yes. Yeah. But I was hooked and I then got my job at EW in 2016. And then I started covering, I didn't start covering Drag Race until about a year into my time at EW. And then once I, you know, got a taste of covering Drag Race, I was like addicted. So yeah, it's been.
And there's
about
so much Drag
years.
Race. Do you cover other things at EW or it's mostly
oh, I
that?
Do. Oh, no, okay. I definitely do. Like Oscars is the thing that I've been, you know, Oscars and movies. That is like my huge, like one of my biggest beats. I mean, Drag Race takes up most of my time, but like I'm so good at predicting the Oscars and talking about actresses over 40. Like it is so stereotypical that those are my two biggest beats. But like,
can you believe the Oscars this year?
I mean, can I believe it? Yes. Just because I just feel like Hollywood is such a far beyond what people as well. I mean, as you know, it is an insane industry and to finally see some of that like bubbling up in front of everybody in a live context was just like the myth was shattered in a lot of ways. And I think people got to a glimpse of what, you know, these people actually think and feel in a more real and raw way than maybe they have seen in the past. So yes,
I think it was the bubbling up of a lot of emotion and I'm talking about Will Smith. He didn't know what to do with it. I think he was so emotionally charged. He was like a tea kettle and he had to pop and he popped the wrong way.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a complex thing. I mean, I hear what Jada is saying. I hear what Tiffany Haddish was saying afterward. Jada Essence Hall is the most important opinion on the Oscars.
She's saying, but I loved it.
I mean, yeah, it's just, it's a very complex thing. And I don't know
it's
that
bad.
I will ever have
it's bad. I'm going to say it for me. This is my experience, but I've been around a lot of mental illness. So when I see people with manic tendencies like that, and I might be projecting, I'll own that. Ring a ding ding, 911, call the mental health police. That's not for me.
Oh no.
So that's why I am like, I'm not with it. And I feel comfortable personally saying that.
Yeah. No, and I don't know one way or the other about Will's mental state. I do know that he was on David Letterman. And did you see that Netflix thing when he was on? This was like filmed way before the Oscars, but like they had to put a little title card up before the Netflix thing. It was like, this was filmed before the Oscars. And he was talking about doing ayahuasca and how he had this vision that his whole career was like slipping away from him. And Willow was like calling out for him and being like, Daddy, why won't you help me? And like, he saw his whole career and life like just disappear. Mm-hmm. And he was like, and that told me that like, I'm okay. Anything that happens, like I have control of what's going on or something like that. And I was just like, okay, so this guy was going through it a little bit before the Oscars.
Yeah.
With these like, you know, very complex issues. And I cannot pretend to know what was going on or what his mental state was or why he did what he did. I can just, you know, look at as
so
a journalist.
She's a politician. Okay.
Me?
Okay.
No, I mean, I think it's certain things like that when I do cover a beat so heavily, you know, it's important to remain somewhat objective, but
you
I also
talk
do
to
that.
Stars. So you have to be very eloquent with your words.
It's not even that sometimes. I mean, it's just, that is truly has informed covering things that way has informed how I do view things as a person. And I do think it's important for me to remain with a journalistic perspective in my
Humanize.
Job and also in my, it helps when looking at a situation. Like I can't just make a blanket statement about Will Smith in his behavior because I saw him do something in a 30-second moment on television. You know, just like we say about the queens on Drag Race. They're in front of cameras. They're under a lot of pressure. There's a lot of things going on. You have no idea. These are powerful people
it's
in a very,
very
high pressure
educated,
situation.
Articulate thing. And that's not the kind of thing we welcome on this podcast.
I'm
dumber.
Sorry, I'm flopping.
Stupider.
So hard already.
Cuntier. Oh,
no. Should I just say Tahin? We'll just shout Tahin. Let's just yell Tahin.
I'm kidding. You're a true gentleman. Ugh.
Oh, thank you.
I am so excited. How are you feeling so far about this season of Drag Race?
Oh my God. Okay. I really, really, really like it. I was so concerned at first that when I heard the no elimination thing, I was like, okay, sure, this is going to be a little strange. But I think I'm actually ending up to find out like who is going to get blocked each episode. I'm actually like more excited about that than I am like, you know, oh, who's going to get eliminated and who's going to clap back at somebody else today. Like, I'm more excited to see who's going to get blocked. Like, I think it's a really interesting twist.
We're building to something really exciting. Yes.
Oh, for sure. I think that this season we have only just begun to peel back the layers of like what is coming. I think that there is something. They wouldn't do an all winter season and have the only thing be like this blocking back and forth every week. There has to be something else.
Right. And this is actually it's a better Survivor style gag than All-Stars 3 because, you know, obviously with All-Stars 3, it was like a trick. And I think it was a trick.
It was a trick, yes.
It was a trick. And I think this lets people know this is the game you're playing, so you get to strategize from the beginning.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I'm not sure if they told them beforehand or not that this was what they were going to do, and that's why some of them said yes. I imagine that there had to have been something to be like, you know, because if you're a winner, you're not going to go on this show if there's the potential that you're going to get eliminated, you know, after
I
one
heard
episode.
Tea that some of the girls knew that they were not being eliminated.
I truly, honestly do not know one way or the other. I really wish that I did know the answer to that question. And I feel like if I ever were to ask that question in an interview, maybe like I might get cut off. I don't know.
I'm a monster. And I saw an interview with Jinx where she very eloquently, without being too verbose, was like, yeah, you know, I might have said yes to the season because I learned of what they were doing with us. And I was like, great. That's good to know.
You know what? She did in our cover story interview. She said something similar. She said,
and that might be where I saw it.
She said, I think it's the reason I said yes.
Yeah.
So maybe they did know beforehand. I don't know.
That's EW.com.
EW. Oh, were you setting me up for a plug? Yeah. Oh my God. I thought it was somebody else.
If you're not logging on to EW.com, you're only getting a quarter of the story.
You're only getting a quarter of the story. If you're not able to immediately remember all of your quotes from interviews that you've done, you're getting zero of the story. Apparently, in
the
my case,
the coverage is really good. Like, I love the relationship you, like, EW and Drag Race has had, and it's
thank you.
It's really exciting, and it's like well produced. You make the queens look gorgeous.
Thank you. That is, I mean, it's a lot of work. And I don't just mean like, you know, the preparation of it. I mean, but that team over at Drag Race, I mean, that PR team is a really, really, really great group of people, and I love working with them. And they are so great at, you know, if I have an idea and I pitch it and it's approved, I mean, we all work together to make it happen the best way possible. So it's really you know, it's my ideas and my team and my editors and all of that that goes into it. But I mean, that PR team is just great. So,
yeah. Okay, that's fantastic to hear that there's so many people elevating the Drag Race girls together.
Yes, we love to do it. We love to see it. We hope to continue doing it.
What did you think of last week's ball at the Drag Race All-Stars?
Okay, I know that everybody is loving the ball, but I was not...
You were not gooped.
I was gooped by the Jada Essence ball, but I was, I think Jada's and maybe... I'm trying to think of
who Trinity
else
was in the top, but do you buy it?
I don't think that Trinity did poorly. I think that I just am like now struggling to remember maybe some of the looks that Trinity did.
Raja was also like, I think someone who like a lot of people were pumped for, but one of her looks wasn't so good. The Olivia Newton-John Waters.
Right. I mean, the ball, I completely understand why Raja was not in the top for that. I mean, I have been a Raja stan since the days of America's Next Top Model, Little Sutan in the makeup room doing the girls when they were crying before their photo shoots. But I think like, yeah, I think it's inaccurate to say that Raja should have three wins right now, like I see a lot of people saying. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was baffled that she wasn't in the top for Snatch Game, even though Madam is like nightmare fuel for me, which, oh my God, have you seen? Okay, it reminded me of this thing. Have you ever seen this drag puppet named Shay St. John?
No.
Oh my God, you have to look it up. It is.
Why are you trying to give me night? Why are you trying to jigsaw my ass?
You are. Oh, it is very jigsaw-esque. It is. I mean, it is like low quality VHS on YouTube, completely manic edits. It is a puppet drag. It's the just nightmare fuel. And that's what Raja's Madam reminded me of. But you have to YouTube it as soon as we're done. But the ball, yes. Like, I mean, Jada had the most consistent looks, but Raja, yeah, that Olivia Newton-John Waters.
I agree
Waters
with you that
was
Raja
more.
Was really actually robbed in Snatch Game, and last week wasn't a robbery, but it was like, God damn it, it was so close.
Yeah, I agree. 2 out of 3, fabulous. The third look was just, I mean, come on, we all know, next to that Vanna look and that incredible gold look that she made, I mean, that just Olivia Newton-John Waters was not, it was a pair of pants and a shirt.
That's true. I mean, saw I love the tights, Raja. And they were ripped. You know, it was truly an Amazon. I mean, if I could easily create that outfit on Amazon, and that's not good.
Maybe you should. Can you do it? I'm putting you to the test. Let's see how well you can do it.
I could. I time me. You could supermarket sweep me, and I could get that outfit delivered to my house in 60 seconds.
And we can see your mustache. We can clearly see your mustache. You just have to shave the beard.
100%. I'm willing to do some nasty shit to honor John Waters. Like, you know,
aren't we all?
Suck a dick
aren't we
on
all?
Screen. I
oh,
mean,
no, wait, not that. I'm not doing that. My peppermint X fingers.
You're giving the X out.
Yes, I can't agree to that.
We're back in, and Jinx is singing Ding Dang Dong, just creating just like the canon of Drag Race is now intermingling more than ever.
Yes, yes. I think that it's, I mean, I like this. I think this is the reason why Drag Race is so successful, is that it is so self-referential, and it just, I mean, the fans too, no reference goes over their heads. Like, I mean, it's just, that's, you know, I love it. I love to see it. And when they were all sort of joining in on it, I was like, this is just a made in heaven Drag Race moment.
It was fantastic. It was fun. Mm-hmm. It was stupid. And we're already getting some drama now that Monet has been successfully evading the plungers, where the rest of the winners, obviously, have been gotten their asses plunged.
Yes. I don't know. I think that Monet successfully has strategized up to this point. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I mean, we're going to see this get so interesting as more people start to win stars. So I think that's when the real strategy, I think there's a lot of strategy going on behind the scenes that we're not seeing right now. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, the alliances have yet to pay off unless, you know, these alliances are being shared in winks and glances, and they're not willing to talk about it on camera.
I mean, especially given with what we were saying before, if there was potentially beforehand some knowledge of how this was going down, I think that it would be natural for them to already start to think of strategizing how to approach this. And I think that Monet came into this game completely studying Drag Race, doing sibling watchery with Bob, having done Pit Stop. I mean, watching season after season, she doesn't miss a season. I mean, Monet said, Candy, like, producer muse, like, we're going to give you Monet showrunner, network CEO, and executive producer exchange. Yeah. Like, I think we need to keep it our eye not only. Oh, what were we going to say?
She's giving me a vibe. I just figured out the vibe she's giving me. She's like, it? when a guy gets caught on Cheaters and they're kind of like, wait, what? what do you mean?
It did very much read like, you just sort of like crashed my boardroom meeting that was supposed to be secret for only me, and you're calling it out publicly. And yeah, I mean, I think that, I don't know, are we going to see this alliance like with Trinity take a tumble in the future? Because Jada seemed, you know, in our cover story interview, she kept teasing that Trinity and Monet might have done some playful backstabbing in
Trinity's
this alliance.
Trinity's very good at Drag Race, so she's the one to stab in the back.
I don't know. Monet did come into this saying that she really wanted to stir up the chaos, stir up the drama. She was really inspired by
UK. Well, why would she bring her with
her
to the end again? That is a mistake.
I don't know. I think that they, because I mean, Monet is extremely smart, and you can see that Trinity did well on All Stars 4, obviously, mm-hmm. as well. So like, if this whole thing is based on blocking and people winning and blocking others, you're going to want to pair up with somebody who has like, I think, didn't Trinity have like the most wins heading into this?
I think she's kind of holding a record for like most wins. She's at least like tied with somebody at this point. But yes, she has like 7 Drag Race wins or something crazy like that.
Wonderful strategy.
It's good strategy.
There you go.
If you're in this workroom, who are you the most afraid of? Who are you like, I need to kill her. I need to plunge her every chance I get.
Honestly,
I need to
Jinx.
Throw those pearls. Yeah, I
Jinx.
Agree.
100%.
I fully agree.
Mm-hmm. She's just good at everything. Good. She's great at everything. Her career after the show, I mean, you just look at all the things that she's been able to do, and it is a career that was like tailor-made for a Drag Race winner. I mean, she has been acting and comedy and, you know, improv comedy, sketches. I mean, music. She is just the figure of like, you know, poise and elegance and comedy and what you're supposed to be as a Drag Race winner. So I think
I agree. And she has so much to teach the queer community. As a queer person mm-hmm. who puts art and expression and talent at the front of her image, she don't care how stupid and ugly and weird she looks. That is like mm-hmm. invincibility in the queer community.
Yes.
And I think that's why she's going to be really hard to beat.
Yes. And I think she's just so like removed from all of that. I mean, she is just so the raw talent is just incredible. I mean, just the way she in this challenge, just thinking on her feet, just how quickly she was coming up with things. It's just like, holy shit. Like how I don't even know if I studied improv, I could do as good of a job as Jinx does. It's just it blows my mind.
It is a culmination. I think that's the word. Culmination of years of like talent, ease, goofiness. Yeah, and I mean, and a willingness to take focus in a way that isn't gross either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wait. The word culmination though. Speaking of gross, I think culmination is not a word. Culmination.
I'm sorry. Cumulation is a theme night at the Eagle. I'm sorry. I was getting it mixed up.
I thought that's where you're going with that. Yes.
Well, we're going to get into this challenge. But first, silence, Joey. I feel like taking a break. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Are you seeing some triggering ads on social media? Stuff about summer bodies, stuff about the diet cleanse, stuff about trimming down. Fuck that noise. That stuff is triggering for me, and I assume it's triggering for someone else listening. That's why I use BetterHelp. BetterHelp allows me to get in touch with a licensed professional therapist who can help me recharge, who can help me decrap my brain. Because those negative images and slogans can really creep in and give me negative body talk. You know what I mean? Any form of negative self-talk that is traumatic for me. And thankfully, I'm using these tools and being honest about them and articulating them in a way that takes the power away from them. If you're thinking about therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's how I found my personal therapist. I found my sweet spot with BetterHelp. So go. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragher today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragher. Go find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Yum, 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 yum. I like to eat food, but you know, it's hard. Let's be real. Food is confusing and it happens 3 times a day. You want me to cook 3? I'm offended. I'm aghast. I'm agog. The gall, the gumption, the nerve, the audacity, and the cheek, all of it. I don't like it. But Now I'm calm because I use Factor Meals. Factor Meals are available in just 2 minutes. They come right to my door and they have really popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie. You can get any kind of delicious meal delivered to your door. I love them. I've been using them for over a year, way before I started talking about them on the podcast. They help me feel full, satiated. There's no mess. It comes never frozen. It's always fresh. It's my favorite meal solution. I've said it a million times. I come home after a night of hanging or dancing and I eat a Factor meal. Like, to me, that's the ultimate endorsement. These meals are so yummy that I'm able to kick a craving for a much naughtier meal and come home and eat something I know will be good for my body. So head to factormeals.com/dragher50 and use code DRAGHER50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus 20% off your next month. That's a lot of money. That's code DRAGHER50 at factormeals.com. Go get into it. Factormeals.com/DRAGHER50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Bring back my break. We are back. Here we go. Talking this fairy tale justice challenge. And we're back in the workroom with the girls. They're, you know, they're doling out the roles. They had to pick teams. And somehow Raja was chosen last. Insane.
I don't get it. I don't get it. I'm like, this really is psychological warfare against Raja this entire season. I'm just like, yeah. Even the queens are picking her last. Like, what is going on?
If I'm being weird, I'm going to say they maybe didn't pick. Okay, here's my weird psychological thing. You don't pick Evie last because Evie's already in her head about not being great at comedy challenges. So she actually might do better if we don't pick her last. Whereas Raja might be of strong enough will and mind to be like, it's fine. I don't care about being picked last.
Do you think that they're really thinking about that?
I don't know. If Monet is to be trusted.
Yeah. I mean, that is an excellent theory, but I don't know if that is going through anybody's mind in the workroom. I think when they pick from a lineup like this, I truly do think that they're just thinking who can benefit their team the most.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm trying to turn this into a Christopher Nolan film. And it's
Christopher Nolan's Drag Race. Imagine that. We're not too far off from that, honestly.
Honestly, we start at the winner. We see who wins the season. There we go.
Oh, I would love that. Yes.
Oh, my God. So here we go. We have these fairy tale justice scenarios. They're trying to pick the roles. One of them is about the three little piggies and the big bad wolf. And the other one is about Little Red Riding Hood and the big bad wolf. Which of these would you rather do? Did you like this?
I would rather be the judge. Let's say that. I would rather.
Strange.
I would rather be the judge.
Strange. Agreed. I didn't think this was a very successful challenge.
I didn't either. God, what to say about this? I think that I truly do think it is, you know, as much as people are saying that there's too many seasons of Drag Race, I think that you can there's only so many different variations on one kind of challenge that you can do when you do so many seasons. So I think that it really is on the writers of the show and the producers of the show to, you know, crank out a lot of different scenarios for these queens to do. And
yeah,
I mean, it's a fun idea. And I really liked the Jersey Justice one that they did. Was that All Stars 4?
Yes, that was All Stars 4, and I agree.
Yeah, like I liked that. But I mean, I think this was just
too complicated.
It was too complicated. And I think that it was like, it was strange because it didn't feel like an improv challenge. Like, it was filmed like one of the scripted shorts that they did, like an acting challenge they usually do.
Comedy lives in brevity, by the way. And these were so long.
Yes. And it just felt like it, just the aesthetic of it didn't suit the kind of challenge that it was.
Another huge note for comedy is, so comedy becomes absurd. Mm-hmm. If we start absurd, sometimes it can be a lot harder to find what's funny about an already absurd idea. Mm-hmm. And I think this needed some grounding because it's kind of like we're already starting with wackadoo crazy. What is unusual or breaks from the expectation of fairy tale, which is already wackadoo crazy?
Yes. And I think that's why someone like Jinx or someone like Evie just completely stood out in this challenge to me, because I think that they were able to take the absurd 10 that this challenge started on and just maintain it throughout the entire thing. Whereas I feel like a couple of the other queens, you could tell were maybe getting a little tired throughout the challenge, or, you know, just weren't on that same level of like responding and improvising.
Yes.
And yeah, they weren't and in also, the moment, they were in their characters.
I'm going to be a comedy nerd and say, I feel, and this is true sometimes, when you're in a genre world, sometimes the funniest thing is actually the most grounded thing. So like, so my weird note is, since we're already in a weird funny world, I found the funniest performances to be ones that like kind of like brought it back to reality. Like Jinx just being an emotionally affected pig
or influencer.
Or Trinity. For me, Trinity just kind of like, she was almost like making fun of the absurdity of the challenge, and I thought she did the best.
And Evie just being horny. Like a horny dude, like off in the corner. Like that is just, I love that Evie was in both. I think that Evie's presence in both definitely helped too.
You're very kind. I'm going to be a monster and say I did not think her part was very successful for me.
Oh, she was my favorite.
Oh, really? Okay, talk to me.
She was my favorite. I think she definitely should have been in the top two. I am baffled that she hasn't gotten a star. I mean, I think she was quick on her feet.
I do agree on that.
She had a lot of clever lines.
That she deserves a star.
She does deserve a star. Well, yes, that part. Okay, I understand that you're not going along this journey
But I want to hear your opinion very much.
I think on the just most basic level, when she steps in the room and you look at her, she's doing drag that not many people on this show can pull off well. Yes, she's completely committed to it. She's done it multiple times this season so far. And I just think that she came in not, because you could tell with her Whoopi performance, she was sort of, which I don't think is the most awful thing in the world, like everybody else does. I actually, I told Evie this in interviews, like I think she's too hard on herself for that performance. I don't think it's horrible.
Yeah.
But this, I think she just said, you know what, I'm going in there, I'm being a horny wolf. And that's what was at the front of her mind this entire time. And she leaned into it. She wasn't thinking too much about it. She was just saying whatever the fuck a horny wolf would say. And it worked. And I thought she was really funny. I thought she looked great. She was my favorite. I really thought she did the best in this whole challenge.
Yeah, for whatever reason, it didn't hit for me. And I can't I mean, she was committed. I wonder if I was distracted that, like, I felt like her character choice was, like, reminded me so much of Boogeyman that, like, I had a hard time being like, wait, this feels like the same thing. But it also could be the scenario itself. The scenario is kind of weird.
It is weird. Yes. Oh, that's like, yeah, that's going back to what we were saying. Like, it just, it feels, it's like an awkward setup. Like, if these characters were in a scripted challenge with little, like, maybe 10-second bites at a time that we see in, like, the scripted acting challenges, I think that this challenge would have come off a lot better. It's the structure of it. It's the way that it was filmed. It's the long shots and the long, drawn-out scenes that I think made it feel a little awkward.
And it's trapped between sketch and improv, which is like, decide which one you want.
Exactly.
And I'm also going to say this. It's time on Drag Race for them to have a grounded acting challenge. Like, I want to, because this is a skill the girls will actually use.
Exactly.
What is it like when we bring in like the directors of Broad City or someone like that? And we're like, we're doing like Broad City style comedy scenes where it's a little smaller, a little bit more personal, and you bring you to the set, because that's what they're going to do after the show.
But Drag Race is all about, I mean, yes, it does produce superstars, but I think it's very clear that Drag Race is all about its own brand, its own, you know, style of comedy. It's not necessarily about molding a star. It's about how well a star who is already a star can adapt themselves to the Drag Race format.
True.
And I don't think that they are ever going to do something like that. Because I think what works with the Drag Race fandom is not necessarily, it's something that's great and it can make a great meme and can make a great TV moment in the context of Drag Race, and we all love it. But is it something that's going to, like, is putting a pig nose on in an improv challenge going to help even the best performance in this challenge, is that going to help them in their career later?
You're like, so no, right.
It's about doing well on Drag Race. And there's
it's
nothing wrong with that.
Iron Chef. It's Chopped. Right. Like, it's not like, here's the best ingredients, yes. Go for it. It's like, ha ha ha, you have to make dinner with a leather shoe and ketchup. Like,
there you go.
And what can you do with it?
Yeah. And I mean, like I said, there's nothing wrong with that. It's fun to watch. But I mean, yeah, I think that's just the reason why a challenge like that would maybe not work.
Yeah.
But they did something on Dragula, the most recent season, that I thought was really interesting. That like fully fledged short film acting challenge that was like half serious and then like half just completely bonkers comedy. But the preparation that they did for that, I thought was really interesting, where they actually had a director come in and they went through the scenes and it was filmed in a really elegant way. I would like to see, I think something like that could maybe work in the context of Drag Race, but changing the style of comedy for a challenge like that, I don't think we're ever going to see that.
I think you're right. And I mean, like, Drag Race did some impressive stuff on season 14, I felt, where they did that, like, that teaser challenge.
That was great. I loved that.
Edited beautifully. Mm-hmm. And it was just like made everyone look better with the sharp editing.
Well, they even fooled us because they put scenes from the fake fights in the fucking commercials for
the
season.
They sure did.
And I loved that. That was a big troll on all of us.
They got us, gal. They got us really good. And let's see. In this second, what else I have to say about this Jersey Justice? Miss Monet is coming up to the stage. Poor Monet. She has to do this challenge for a second time.
Oh, yes. And that's true. I didn't even think of that. Yes.
Yeah. God damn it. And, you know, I will say this. I contributed some ideas. And when we were talking about this courtroom idea with wonderful people at the World of Wonder, it started as a very grounded acting challenge where it was more about like another small town. Another small town like Jersey was like, oh, let's focus on a small town like, you know, whatever, just a nasty country town and what court cases can happen here. Like a grandma sleeping with her granddaughter's boyfriend. That's what I pitched. And it transformed into this. And obviously I'm not going to pretend to understand the show as good as the amazing people who make it, but I am a comedy snob. So I think it could have been more grounded.
Yeah. Well, so when you say grounded, you mean like the actual basis of it is more rooted in like something that is feasible?
Yeah, that's what I mean by it. Yeah, thank you for asking me what the fuck I'm talking about. Helpful to people who don't know what that means.
I just feel like grounded could mean a few different things to several different people. So you're just like essentially not, you know, like I get what you're saying.
Yeah, believability. It's always like that little sense of believability is like the sleight of hand with comedy, because we're going on a journey with you. But to get there, we have to believe there's some kernel of emotional or human truth. Like, so even like fucking crazy worlds like Disney and Pixar worlds, they always start with like some human emotional truth to take you to a crazy place.
Yes. So are you telling me that you don't believe RuPaul in those elf ears? That's not grounded?
No, that's the trait of the season. That's what that is.
Can you imagine just for a moment, all I could think about was Raven putting those ears on RuPaul backstage.
She looked incredible.
I loved it.
I have there's a new sexuality. We need like a new flag, queer community, for whatever RuPaul was. Wearing the flip flops. You know, she showed up just being like, I'm wearing this.
Yes.
Do whatever you want on top of it.
These are the bottoms that Utica was trying to get to on season 13. This is just what RuPaul wears from the waist down behind the.
It's very little innocent middle. Angle a la Willow Pill.
Yes, ankle cornbread. Shout out to my cornbread.
Oh my god, ankle. She is she's wearing whatever. Rue looks amazing, and it's funny, and it's great. Yes. Jinx improvises even as her ear falls off. She's very good at it.
And Jada still looks fucking incredible with that pig nose on. She looks so good.
Sick. Sickening. I know. She's so fucking gorgeous. And she made me laugh. She made me laugh.
She did.
Yeah, I think it was a little. Yeah, she made me laugh. It wasn't like, I don't know. It's hard to diagnose, right? Because my main note is for the editor. Make him look better.
Can we also just say, okay, great moments in Drag Race cinematography, Shay entering through the like horns of Michelle's hair. Like yes. That was there. The cinematographers are really going for it for these past two seasons. And let me just say,
they're going hard.
Oh, they really are. Emmy forthcoming. But I mean, I laughed. I think the hardest I laughed in this challenge was something that was just so stupid is just when Shay reveals what her name is.
Uh-huh. Halle Berry.
Halle Berry.
Yeah.
So stupid. So because I was, when she first said it, I was sitting there, I was like, why is she Halle Berry? And then it clicked Beary, and it was just so stupid. And it's still, I'm giggling thinking about it right now. I know that's
love that it's dumb, but no, that's what's beautiful about comedy. I mean, it's stupid. And I love stupid. That's why a lot of my favorite shit. Again, I'm gonna shut up about comedy, but the best comedy is either so absurd, like cartoon comedy, or so grounded, like Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah. I've never seen a single episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
It's cute.
Ever.
You're not missing too much. If you're not already into it, you're not going to like it. It's that.
That's like, what, 15 years of catching up that I would have to do? I mean, that show came out when I was 4 years old, so.
Curb Your Enthusiasm is just AITA. It's just, that is the whole, it's a whole Am I the Asshole? That's all the whole series is.
You're not even going to challenge me on my age?
I was going to let it slide.
I'm trying to not.
I'm going to hit you with a Gia gun. You look good.
Miss Gia, opening doors still. We're opening doors here.
And there's room for everybody. Let's just say that. I love the door she opens. Viv is here playing the little Miss Red Riding Hood-ish. And, or I guess she's a Hansel and Gretel type. She's a Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think that's Little Red. Or is it Little Red? Which one has the fruit? Not the fruit
it's
basket.
Hansel.
Oh my God.
Freudian it's flip. Hansel. But yes, there's, yes, this yes. is why this is confusing. What fairy tale is this? We don't know.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure.
There's bears, tigers, and otters. Twinks. Oh my.
Does Viv still qualify as a twink, I think?
Maybe. So whatever, this challenge is about them. Then some more bears come in. They're fighting about who's right. Another comedy note I'll give is denial makes it really hard to like build on what's yes. fun or funny about the scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a little bit of denial can work if the characters are in agreement, right? Mm. It's just like in a comedy scene where, you know, Ricky, why am I so old? Ricky Ricardo saying, Lucy, do not go to the Tropicana. But we know that the characters are saying, of course I want you to go to the Tropicana and ruin the night and create the comedy.
Yes, you have to propel it forward. You can't put a roadblock exactly, in there. You have to. I mean, honestly, I think, and I just saw Buzzy Queen say something about this too on Buzzy's review of this, but I
love
think
Buzzy.
I love Buzzy so much. And as much as I love Michelle, and you know, I think she's one of our nation's great auteurs when you Steven Spielberg shakes when he sees Michelle Visage sitting in that director's chair. But I almost wonder if like Michelle is part of the reason as to why this also feels a little strange, because her performance didn't feel like it was like on the level of everybody else's. And I almost wonder if it would have been better to just get Bianca back, because this is an all winter season, to do her Judge Judy in this.
I agree. Mm-hmm. And because I actually think the host needs to be ruder and messier.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
not be afraid to get in there and not be afraid to cut people off and even set people up.
Mm-hmm. And Bianca could have done that well. And we've seen that Michelle can do things like that, but it wasn't working in this challenge, and I'm not sure why.
Yeah, I think they gave her too much to do, too much to balance.
Maybe so. I mean, too much, like her necklace. We have another great moment in Michelle Visage necklace messagery. She's
she
had
loves
witch
it. Returning. She keeps trying to become more and more sophisticated, but we know she's a Jersey girl at heart.
Don't, as the roast proves every year, yes, we get a glimpse into Michelle Visage's life.
For me, Trinity really stole this challenge. I don't know why she made me laugh the hardest, and I can't necessarily defend it. She just made me laugh the hardest.
She was good. Everything from the second that she walked in, I mean, just doing the Winifred Sanderson walk, it was just, I mean, it was lovely. Yeah.
And she's Russian? Like, kind of like, I don't want to say making fun of this challenge, you know, like she's above the challenge, and it's genius.
No, that is exactly what she's doing. I think that, and I really do wonder how the look came, like what are the chances that Trinity just has this exact same thing that Michelle has? There had to have been something else going on.
It was produced. Mm-hmm. It was just helped. This was the role she got. And she's like, yeah, I'll do that. That's great.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
You were saying about Raja.
I think that Raja, I like Raja. I do adore Raja. I think there was like something off about this performance too with Raja. I'm not sure what it was.
I don't think it was the part for her.
Yeah. I mean, I think that I thought she had the physicality of it down really well. Like, I loved her little mannerisms when she was like walking out to do her little exit interview. And, but it kind of felt like the whole group was, like you were saying, they kind of felt like weird about the challenge itself. Yeah, it didn't necessarily. Weird. Yeah.
And yeah, I agree. This role made Raja more polite than I would have liked to have seen her, because she's mm-hmm. great when she steals focus. I think I would have loved to seen her as the witch. I think that's what I would prefer to see her as, but mm-hmm. it's hard. Like you said, this is not about being given a gift on a plate.
Right.
The Drag Race is about, here's a roll of duct tape. Now make a present for the queen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. You adapt to it. It does not adapt to you.
Right. Right. Work. Well, guess what? We're going to talk about that main stage. We're going to chirp and burp those runway looks. But first, silence, Joey. I feel like taking another damn break. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, diva. So why should payday? Yes, I'm a robotic bitch. And the one thing that makes this robot go cuckoo cuckoo is money. Not tomorrow, today. And guess who helps with that? Earnin. That's right. Earnin will put the money in your hands today. You can get $100 per day or 750 buckarooskies per pay period. All you have to do is download the Earnin app, verify your paycheck. You get access to $100 a day as you work. And you can do it from absolutely anywhere in the darn world. That's why I love Earnin. It makes money easy, because you know sometimes your employers act a fool. Okay, yeah, it's like they're in the Untucked Lounge and they're acting a fool girl. So whether it's for a special night out, you want to treat your loved one, an unexpected bill from the vet, yikes, or rent, bitch, you can use Earnin to your advantage. Make it a part of your financial routine. Join the over 3.5 million customers who say, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Plus, peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Drag Her Under Podcast. When you sign up, it'll really help the show. That's Drag Her Under Podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
Bring back my break. Oh my God, we're back. We're chatting. We're gonna see what's happening.
I really held my breath when you said silence. I'm like, oh, I can't say anything. I can't say anything.
You're very respectful. You're way too respectful. You're too kind.
I'm taking up space that is usually taken up by like Nicole Byer or like the cast of Queer as Folk. I'm not even the most famous Joseph. I'm not Joseph Shepherd.
Shut the fuck up. I don't know. I'm gagged that you're here. Before I forget, how do you enjoy, we were talking about this a little bit earlier, How, do you enjoy being a Drag Race gay? You know, like Drag Race gays like me, you, and other more popular ones like Bussy and other girls like Joseph. Like, we're in a strange position sometimes being like, we love the show, we like talking about it, but sometimes we invite a lot of wrath from the Drag Race fans.
I mean, yeah, I think that... I mean, it's hard to feel like sometimes like your entire personality is not taken up by just being a Drag Race fan. And I'm like, I promise I am multifaceted, even though my Twitter feed is just like deranged tweets about Drag Race and Lady Gaga. Those are my like and mom memes. Those are the only things that I do.
But, I really love Lady Gaga, too.
Me too. I just
really
when she was a judge on season 9. Oh, my God.
That
best
was
moment of my life. Best moment of my life. But yeah, I think that this fandom is notoriously unkind to in a lot of different respects. And I think it's easier for them to maybe unload a lot of things on people who they already feel like are not necessarily involved with the franchise, but like adjacent to it, like a journalist who is covering it. And it's easier for them to like maybe... like I read the YouTube comments, and I actually shouldn't admit this out loud, but like I do read the YouTube comments, and like some of them were like pretty mean. Like they,
They're tough.
They are tough. The other day I read a comment on our cover, the roundtable interview, and it was like, oh, this ugly pig at the end couldn't even put anything on his face, and he's at a table full of all winners. And the funny thing is that I literally sat in the makeup chair for 15 minutes before that, and they were like,
wow.
I was like, well, I guess it didn't work.
Trust me, I've been there. So you read the podcast reviews, and sometimes they're like, I think one that really gutted me was when they were like, look, some people are just meant to be co-hosts and not main hosts. And I was like, you're very entitled to your opinion. And you know what I can weirdly say? I weirdly have grown from the negative comment. Like once someone said the meanest thing about you online, it kind of like...
You survive it.
You survive it. And you're like, you know what? People are allowed to have opinions, and... No matter who you are, people are going to have opinions about you. And that's, that should not, I know it can, but it has nothing to do with how good you decide to feel about yourself.
Exactly. Like the Vixen just posted a really great video today. And I think everybody should go to the Vixen's Instagram and watch this video where she was like talking about this exact thing. And she was like saying,
Vixen.
I love the Vixen so much. She is the biggest sweetheart. And it is like, she gives such good advice on her Instagram all the time.
Super
and this
sweet.
Video is just like talking about how even if someone pays you a positive compliment, it's like, oh, like I, you know, it's nice to accept a positive compliment, but like, I didn't ask. I go out, look, and I am wearing this or looking like this because I think I look good. So like, there's no need to reaffirm that because that's like also in some way implying ownership over somebody else in a public space. And it's like, I just think that, you know, hearing something like that, it changes your entire outlook on something. Unless like the comments are helpful in some ways. Like sometimes people have pointed out things that I have done in the past, like as just like little physical tics in interviews and stuff that I totally stopped doing now. So they can be helpful. So yeah, everybody just be mean to me on the internet still.
Honestly, I can handle it now. Say whatever you want. Like it's completely your prerogative to say anything nice or mean. It's fine. That's your expression. The way that I'm expressing myself and how I feel about this show, you're just as entitled to your expression.
I mean, and the comments just kind of bounce right off you because, I mean, you're cashing those HBO Max checks. So, like, let's be real.
Water off a duck's back, bitch.
Water off a duck's back, yes.
Let's go ahead and talk about Miss Mama Ru's look in this runway.
Oh, my God. We missed the Taheen moment.
I know. Well, what did you want to say about the Taheen moment?
Nothing. I just want to talk about it for the rest of my life. I really do.
Taheen. I can't wait for you to actually try it.
I know. Me too.
Rue looks insane.
And so good. So good.
I love that the hair to me is like classic old school Rue, but it's this like white thing she's doing in recent years.
Yes, it is a classic old Rue look that somehow feels like it's also from the year like 3049.
Totally. Exposed corsets are back.
It looks so good.
It's great.
God, I just can't. Rue has been, Isn't that preview stunning. For next week, that outfit that Rue's wearing next week? Or we'll get to that later, maybe.
I can't wait. Anyway, this is an absolute chirp, perhaps a caca. Mm-hmm. Rue, yes, it could be a caca.
I give it a caca, yes.
And I also give that caca to Ross Matthews' Ross's insane ponytail. Insane. He's sick.
I didn't clock, like, is it bad that, like, when I first saw it, I didn't clock it as, JBC. Like, completely out of the ordinary. I know. Let's not even go there. I need to cover the screen because I'm literally covering the screen.
He's one of Earth's best looking humans. He's so nice. He's so nice. He's been on the pod years ago. He was so kind.
Justice for JBC. I mean, honestly.
Absolutely. I love that he's like, fuck Canada. I'm coming to fucking America again. This is bullshit.
Yes.
I live for that. So
I was missing the romance storyline between him and Rue this time, though.
I know. I mean, that is a runner they should have kept alive.
Yes, they really should have.
So theme is spikes. Oh, my God. I can't tell if there was a funnier name for it, but spikes. And Jada Essence Hall comes out. I don't even know how to fucking explain this.
You can't. Words will not do this justice.
It's a little bit cat from Sailor Moon. I don't know their name.
No, yes. Oh, my God.
It's a little bit that, isn't it?
Yes, it is. No, that really, yeah. Yeah. And also maybe the one from The Simpsons, too. Isn't there a cat that looks like that on The Simpsons?
Probably. Yeah.
Little ears like that.
One, two. It's
just next level. Are those the same boots from her ball look?
Perhaps. I'm not sure. But this is like, it's like the Yakuza clan hired a demon ghoul. And she's back from the dead, even though she fell on the Mortal Kombat spike pile.
Came back to Earth as Grace Jones.
Yeah, yes.
Oh, so good.
The high contrast black and white on the face is just...
It's incredible. I mean,
I'm going to give this a caca.
Yes, caca. Jada said the ball is 2 weeks in a row.
I know, 100%. Jinx Monsoon! Giving Sonic the Hedgehog's more sensible, sexy sister. What'd you think?
I think that... Okay, this is my favorite runway that I've seen in a really long time. Collectively, I think everybody did a wonderful job. And I think that this
from
one...
From her or everyone?
Oh, from everybody. I truly think this is one of my favorite runways in a long time. I'm regretting this decision to bring you on this podcast.
No, I genuinely love disagreeing. I do disagree, but I fucking love, I mean, I love Jinx so much that I'm just always like, oh, her runways are going to be, this was good for me, but it wasn't like really great.
I thought this was great. I really did think it was great. She even did like a Daphne Guinness hair.
The hair, I would say, is my... Yes. The face and hair are stunning and interesting and weird. And like the color palette of white and like tang is so cool.
The hair looks like... Do you remember those little cream savers candies? They came in like strawberry and orange. And that's what her hair looks
berries
like.
And just, like berries and cream. Very that.
Berries and cream.
Yeah, this is... I would absolutely chirp it. I think it's good. Mm-hmm. It's just, to me, it's like, it's classic good Jinx. It's good.
I'm going to caca.
Okay, work.
I might caca everything. No, I won't.
Do whatever your heart desires.
No, I'm going to ground this comedy.
We have Monet Exchange, who's giving, again, she loves a Mortal Kombat reference. I'm still getting Kombat from this. It's like gothy, spiky.
But I think the Mortal Kombat elements are the things that need to go about this. Like the mask needs to go, I think.
Okay, good.
I think if she took the mask off, then this would be a 10. But I think there's something about the mask but the color of the mask, it's very clear that the person who made the jackets with the spikes on there was not the same person who did the mask. The mask feels like it was purchased. Mm. So I think that it doesn't flow with the rest of the look.
I think I don't like the shoe. I think that's one of my main things. It's like,
I think
I get that it's punk and I guess
Doc Martin-y kind of thing.
But I think it's just kind of dragging the look down because I don't know. I think it's a little too chunky. I think the shoe is like, they look kind of clowny to me.
I'm not mad at the shoe. I'm mad at the lace color. I think if the laces were black.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Yeah. I love the name on the back.
I still have to chirp it, personally.
Yeah, me too.
I like, it's interesting. It's interesting. It's
yes,
not
it is
perfect.
Interesting. Yeah.
Okay, Eevee Oddly giving Pokemon Scyther sighting.
Yes, Pokemon, yes.
She's walking in these damn claws. I love it.
I do too. I think that it reminds me of, wasn't there somebody else who did like a stilty kind of thing?
On Drag Race España, there was a look
yes,
like
yes,
this.
Yes, 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 from Onyx.
Yes. Yeah. And it was a little better. A little, sorry,
I mean, but not, Drag Race España season 2, come on. Like, that season is just next level. But this is, I mean, just the pain that she had to have been in and walking in those shoes. I mean, I have to just... I mean, there's just everything about this look. I mean, because I feel like also Eevee is the perfect kind of person to pull this off, because if somebody else were to be wearing this, her body proportions and the length of her limbs, it all works so well together.
It really does. And I mean, there's like little things I want to see more detail on, but it's maybe that's on purpose, because there's like this amazing relief on her neck and the contacts are incredible. The hair scorpion swoopy doo is really cool.
Yeah.
It's definitely a chirp.
I cannot believe that she does not have a star yet. I don't get it.
I know. It's not right, but it's okay. Trinity the Tuck. Bram Stoker's. Bram Stoker's Tuckula. I'm plastic. I'm Trinity.
Tuckula, not Tuckula. I
what'd you think?
I'm struggling.
Okay.
I think in pieces. It's genius. Like the spike through the concept itself. Genius concept. Spike interpreted that way. Great. Love the candelabra. Love the hair. Love the stained glass stuff on the chest and on the train. I love, but it's just like all together.
Do you think it's a lot?
It's complicated. It's complicated. And
I wonder if she doesn't need the the piece that's around her head.
Yeah. I don't know if
she needs that.
Mm-mm. Or just like to lessen it a little bit, to make it so that it's only like a tall collar around her head.
Yeah.
Might have been a little bit better, because it does it. She kind of looks like the dinosaur from Jurassic Park that kills the guy from Seinfeld.
Diplodocus, whatever that is. The Diplodocus that comes in the cumulation of the film.
The cumulation.
Yes, right when the film cumulates. I still have to chirp it. I think the ideas are so interesting. The details are sickening to me. Okay, I would still chirp this.
Did you not just get done shaming me for saying that I liked every single outfit and you are now liking every single outfit?
I'm going to burp something prop. Well, I kind of wanted to burp Eevee. I wasn't obsessed with that. Wait, I don't know. Wait, look, this is just all winners.
Wait a minute. Do we need to rewind the tapes and listen to you praising the shit out of
Bella? I'll gaslight you.
Oh my gosh. Not this.
Are you chirping or burping?
Oh, I am cacawing.
Yes. Here we come. Miss Vivian.
Oh, are we talking about Vivian or Trinity?
Trinity.
Oh, Trinity, I'm not cacawing. No. Okay. No. Trinity, I'm burping.
Okay, work. That's good. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Trinity. So Vivian is giving this holy hell razor moment.
I am just speechless over this. The color,
the
level of spikery, like how many spikes are there?
Yeah.
Just it's so good. It's so good.
The smoky eye paired with this. It's like, you know, you feel wrong. The cross on the head makes you just feel a little bit more wrong, which is right.
Oh, yes.
Great.
I just like, my mind melts when I look at something like this, because it's just like, how is this even possible to be this perfect?
Agree.
And the nails, look at the nails.
And the ebb and flow of like the size of spikes also like give me Microsoft screensaver realness. Like it is like... It is a polygonal sight to behold.
A polygonal sight to behold. Yes. Is there a better word than caca? Is there like a, I was going to say turkey gobble, but that sounds worse.
I love it. You can do it. Worse.
I'm not going to do it.
Wait.
Screech.
How do I do a, is that a turkey gobble? I don't
If you say it is, yes, it is.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah. There we go. Yes, okay, that is exactly gobble, what I'm giving
gobble.
This. Yes, I'm giving this look whatever you just did.
Awesome. Raja. Mm. Oh, my God. And this is fan-fucking. She's holding a mace. What? Oh, she looks like she's from the Masters of the Universe. I mean, she looks incredible.
Oh, it's so good.
There's a diaper, but it looks cool. I don't even know what that crotch piece is.
I don't either, but I don't care because it's just so amazing. Like the little, like, what are those called? Kneecaps, knee pads or whatever are just so good. I mean, it's just everything is just amazing.
Nudes, purples, the Aurora Borealis stones. It's all insane.
Mm. I really want her to hit me with that mace. I really do. I really, really do.
I love it. Like the split cape in the back, too, is also another smart. Of course, Raja's a genius when it comes to construction.
Raja deserved a chirp. Star for this week. She really
I
did.
Know. It's a yeah. chirp. This is a oh, chirp.
It's a caca.
Shea Coulee giving, it's a little bit elfin princess. From Hyrule.
Yeah.
I actually didn't live.
I think Shay is like the most perfect human being on planet Earth, but there's like when she, but the good thing is that when Shay doesn't do it like at a 10, she's still at like a 7. Yeah. Like it's never bad with Shay.
It's so, not bad.
Mm-mm. No.
But
I just don't get
I'm
it.
I'm used to such a level. That's what it is. I don't get it. I'm used to such a high level with her that yes. I'm like, what is this? Is it punk? It's like this kind of, it's like this elf went to an Avril Lavigne concert. Mm-hmm. I'm confused. Mm-hmm. I'm an upper bit.
Yeah, I think me too.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunate indeed. But what can you do? We do our best.
I love Shay. I really do love Shay though.
Me too. And easily can win this whole damn thing.
Agreed.
So now we get our top two, and it's the Viv v. Jinx. I felt like Jinx was not ready to lip sync, if I had to guess.
I think so, too. I really think so, too. I mean, sure, her heart did not seem like it was in this lip sync, where the Vivian's was.
And I feel like someone else thought they were going to lip sync. I think Raja almost looked plucked. She was like, God damn it.
Well, I think, honestly, Raja won the lip sync when she asked Rue if she was sure she wanted Raja to go sit back down with the rest of the safe queens. Like, Auntie Raja is not having any of this.
That's so true, especially after they pumped her up.
And that shot of her looking completely straight-faced while the rest of them are like laughing and hollering at the lip sync.
I know.
So good.
I thought this was kind of an arbitrary top two, personally. I think they could have put anyone in the top two this week. That's sometimes what happens with improv challenges, in my opinion.
It's also, I think it's just also weird because the judges clearly know that Jinx can't get a star this week. So I'm just like, if you know that like Raja and Evie don't have stars yet and they both did well on the runway and I think in the challenge, why not give them one?
Well, someone might say they're trying to illustrate the cost of what it means when you can't get a star the following week. And someone might argue that making these two the top two illustrates that there's like worth to the concept of like, see, there is,
true.
This is a good thing. And it might even out the numbers. So no one is like leading the pack so early in the game.
Yeah. But I mean, when the question, well, no. Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess that's my opinion.
I could be way off.
No, you're completely. No, I'm changing my stance. I'm grounding my stance. This is now the new word of my life. I'm grounding my stance in what you're saying. Grounding and gobbling.
I'm always a conspiracy theorist when it comes to Drag Race. So, you know, I could be right. I could be not.
Do we think that Jinx, I know Jinx is a committed performer, but it does seem like with what was at stake here. And I know how much Jinx does care about her sisters. Do we think there's a chance that they do sometimes not purposely not put their all into these performances?
That's a really intriguing argument. Did she throw it just a little bit? Because we know the target on her back is gigantic at this point. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Did she throw it a little bit? That's a possible.
that would be strategy. I mean, that wouldn't be a discredit to Jinx's artistry. That would be playing a game. And All-Star 7 is all about strategy and playing a game, maybe more so than other All-Star seasons have been. So I don't think that that's necessarily like shade or a knock against somebody to say that they are throwing a lip sync this season. I mean, it could completely play into the game that they're doing.
Yes. That's a good point. And everyone knows, or many have noticed, that this is the first lip sync Jinx has lost in Drag Race history.
Oh, yeah, it is.
So people are saying, is this a stunt? Is this real? Was she just not prepared? She was like, I did not think you were going to give me the top again. Maybe in that tight dress.
That could be it, too. Because she didn't necessarily look... Well, wait, did she change? I think she changed.
Yeah, a lot of them are changing these days.
So I did ask Jinx about this. I asked her in our interview last week, because we do like the weekly podcast interviews plus
amazing
like weekly Q&As that just go on the site. But she said that they all just got into this habit of... everybody changing because they had no idea who was going to be in the top each week. Like, and it seemed like a non-bullshitty answer. It seemed like a very, you know, we all just clearly everybody was getting good critiques. So we had no idea who was going to be in the top two. So they all were changing.
That makes sense. That makes sense. And like, it's interesting too. Like a lot of times they're like changing back into their challenge looks as if to be like, remember? Like,
I also love Evie's changing attire. It seems like Evie is literally like, she changed into a pair of pants on the first episode. Now she just changed into that hilarious wig and that just like tight red dress. I love what Evie is doing at all moments on this season.
The weirder, the better. I am.
Yes.
And the number of outfits these girls are bringing is already absolutely blowing my mind. Of like,
I know, me too.
You're wasting that look just on the possible lip sync thing? That what? No, no.
Jada last week with the, oh my God, during the Beyonce.
Perfect.
She looks so good.
Perfect.
What's been your favorite look of the season so far?
I gotta say, oh God, there's a couple insane ones, but I want to say that first week where they were like, we're queen, like we're giving like winner looks. Mm. It might've been Raja's like evolution of her Rococo look.
Mm, yeah, so good.
Or, oh God, there's been so many good ones, but, or possibly Jinx's that week where she was like red golden hairpiece. Cause it was like, so her, but like at a 28.
Yes, that was excellent. That really was excellent as well. I think hands down, it's got to be Evie's melted candle crayon.
That was hot.
Call it look. Oh, when she walked out, I literally was like, oh.
That was hot.
It was so good. So good.
It was really good.
How do you make something like that? I want to melt candles all over my body.
I don't know. Oh my. Okay. This is a family podcast, Joey.
Oh,
this
is... fuck off. No, it is not. This is not a, talking about cumulations and.
Clocked. You've been clocked. Joey, you're so fucking fun to have on. Where can we follow you and support you? And where can we get all our coverage for Drag Race that you're covering?
You can go to ew.com/dragrace where we have our weekly podcast. We have our weekly quick drag Twitter spaces on Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, where we interview the All-Star 7 cast or just, you know, Drag Race alums. Like we had Candy Muse on last week to talk about the ball. It was a great episode. Everybody should go listen to that.
I love Candy Muse.
Yes. She is just one of my all-time favorites. And then, EW shares all of this on their socials. So at Entertainment Weekly on Instagram, at EW on Twitter, and then I am on Twitter and Instagram at Joey Nolfi.
That's EW, or for you Drag Race stands,
ew.
If you like Drag Her Podcast, follow us at Drag Her Podcast. Joey's handle and EW's handle will be in the pod description, so click below. And if you like what you're listening to, please go ahead and give us some love on the Apple Podcasts and Spotify, wherever you listen. Give us a 5-star review, say some squawky stuff, and we'll read it on the pod. We'll read those reviews on the pod as we do. And like we said before, positive or negative, this is your voice, sis. Let democracy ring out.
Don't read the reviews about my episode. They're going to be bad.
Shut the fuck up. Till next time, my queen. Let the music play.
was a HeadGum Original.